Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is now open according to law. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. We have one case that we wanted to hear this morning. It's 21-20093, Polk Project Solutions versus Alliance Process Partners. Mr. Thomas.
Good morning, Your Honor. Will Thomas for Polk Project Solutions. May it please the court. Federal courts have a virtually unflagging obligation to exercise their jurisdiction, including diversity jurisdiction. The Brillhart abstention doctrine is a narrow exception to that broad and sweeping mandate. Generally, Brillhart is limited to instances in which a party to the state court action files a declaratory judgment action in federal court over the same issues raised in the state court. But Brillhart does not deprive a different party of its election to a federal forum to adjudicate its distinct claims. But here, the district court erred and did just that. Specifically, the district court erroneously concluded that under the first Trejo factor, that a pending state court lawsuit would, quote, resolve KPS's entitlement to declaratory relief, when it would not. Second, and also under the first Trejo factor, the district court erroneously concluded that Paul Switzer, a KPS corporate officer who was sued in his individual capacity, to be a suitable proxy for KPS's own claims, which is not an applicable standard under Trejo, and furthermore inaccurate. And three, the district court erred in applying those two erroneous findings to the remainder of the Trejo factors, which the district court did not separately analyze. As background, the state court lawsuit begins with Paul Switzer, an IAG Triton consultant that left IAG Triton to work for Koch Project Solutions. Following his departure, IAG Triton owed Mr. Switzer over $400,000 in benefits. IAG Triton, as a defense, counterclaimed that Mr. Switzer breached his consulting and separation agreements, including things like the failure to return confidential information and not doing enough to develop Koch business while at IAG Triton. Triton also sued Mr. Switzer for tortious interference with other former Triton employees' employment agreements. And Triton also sued Koch business leader Dave Dotson and two KPS parent companies, but not KPS. The state trial court lacked personal jurisdiction over the other business leader as well as the parent companies. So why are we here in federal court? Well, it's because Triton made the strategic decision to make factual allegations about KPS, but not to actually assert claims to bring those allegations at issue. And specifically, Triton referenced KPS 23 times in their factual allegations, including saying things that KPS is essentially a sham enterprise designed to impermissibly compete with Triton. But again, oddly, Triton made the strategic decision not to plead a claim against KPS to resolve those allegations. And this was not an oversight. When asked to add KPS as a party, IAG and Triton expressly declined. And it's that. Their strategic election to make allegations about KPS, but not to put those allegations at issue through any claim, it left KPS at a crossroads. Do nothing and let the allegation stand, or assert its own claims through a declaratory judgment action to air those clear the air about those erroneous allegations.
Mr. Thomas, are you going to address appellate jurisdiction at some point?
Yes, Your Honor, I can.
Okay. So my specific question about that, and you can, of course, say whatever you want about the issue, but as I understand it, the argument is that this is a stay motion. This is a stay by the district court. Normally, that's not a final decision under 1291, but it can be if it puts you, quote, effectively out of court. So if that's the argument for why we have appellate jurisdiction, why does the stay put you effectively out of court when it will be lifted at some point? and the district court litigation will resume, I assume.
It will, Your Honor, but it does put us out of court, out of federal court, to be able to resolve any of these issues. And it effectively concedes the adjudication of those issues to the state court. And then there's essentially no way to then bring the court's error back in front of this court, because by the time the state court concludes, it puts us back to where we are, here we are in federal court.
Does that mean that you're saying, is the state court litigation res judicata as to all the issues in the federal litigation?
Well, no, Your Honor, and we don't believe it is res judicata, nor
okay,
can
so
it be.
I didn't think you did. So when the state court litigation concludes, and you can tell me in a second what the status of it is, we will come back here. You will go back to federal court, and by your argument, there will be outstanding issues to resolve, right? If it's not res judicata.
That is correct, Your Honor. It is not res judicata, but it effectively does put us out of federal court, and there's then no way for this court to be able to review the court's error as it relates to the stay. And this is similar.
What's your best case from our court or the Supreme Court that says under the circumstances where the state court litigation is not res judicata as to the federal issues, the stay order effectively puts you out of court? What are your best authorities for that?
Granite State Insurance, Your Honor, where this court said where a stay order effectively dismisses a federal suit, as in this case, it is treated as final under
Granite State. But in Granite State, it said it was res judicata, didn't it? The state litigation.
Well, I think that's what the court's finding was, that it would say, well, effectively this is res judicata, but that's why this court, because that's what the trial court's decision was, that it would have to be appealed. And to give the court the chance to basically hear this issue, because otherwise it's not going to be able to hear this issue. And the court there, Your Honor, also said, and alternatively, such an order is appealable even if non-final under the collateral order.
Are you making this? So I guess I'm glad you pointed that out. Are you making in your brief a collateral order argument in the alternative for appellate jurisdiction?
Very, very much so, Your Honor. Very much so.
All right.
Okay. It also, and on that same note, again, American Guarantee, we think, is another case where the court actually looked at it and said, if this is Colorado River or if it's Brillhart, it doesn't really matter because it's going to be unreviewable. And there, again, the court reversed the stay. So we do believe that this court's appellate jurisdiction
Do our cases say it matters the amount of time that the state court litigation is going to take? I see references to time, the amount of time, and it wasn't clear to me whether it would be enough to say, well, the state court litigation is going to take X number of months or years, so therefore we have appellate jurisdiction. Seems like a strange rule, but our cases do say that.
Well, and Your Honor, I think that's the case here, where for the entire last year, the state court case has not affirmatively been pushed forward. So, you know, with this court issues an order, we're going back to the federal court, and materially nothing has changed for an entire year. Also, because the state court didn't really progress much further than the actual sort of pleadings and personal jurisdiction argument, there's not been much of anything that's even been done in the state court. So essentially, we're back at square one if this court reverses.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, are you finished? Is this your position that if a decision is rendered that KPS violated the non-compete provisions, would that necessarily decide whether Switzer violated the same non-compete provisions?
No, Your Honor. We've said that specifically Mr. Switzer has to stand individually in the state court and be able to answer for his individual actions. What we've done in the federal case is look at where there are these holes in the state court case. And one of them, for example, like the declaration that we're seeking under count two, is that these individuals can be permissibly employed by KPS, which is a factual allegation that was raised in Triton's third party amended petition, specifically paragraph 48. They said these individuals cannot be employed. That's not at issue in the state court proceeding. There's not a claim against Switzer individually that says you cannot employ these individuals. The claim against Switzer is far narrower than that, and it has to do with whether or not those individuals can, whether those individuals can essentially solicit work from former IAG Triton customers. So the claim that we're seeking, Your Honor, it is distinctly different than what's actually being adjudicated in the state court. And because of those allegations about KPS, that's the reason we needed to assert that declaratory judgment action. And the count two is an example of where a matter is not going to be ultimately decided in the state court, but it can be decided in the federal court. And Your Honor, as it relates to that, there's a number of other issues that are not going to actually be presented in the state court that are actually at issue in the federal court. Another one being is whether or not these individuals can perform their job duties and their functions for KPS. That's something that's at issue under count one that's not at issue in the state court litigation. Similarly, whether Paul Switzer whether Paul Switzer can go out and recruit these potential customers, try to get bids for these projects, whether he can. Whether he can actually go and engage in that solicitation, that's not at issue in the state court case. They did not bring that claim in the state court case. So that's another issue that's not going to be resolved in the state court litigation, which is again.
Who is contending that they cannot perform their duties for KPC?
Well, Your Honor, that's IAG Triton has contended that in their factual allegations. For example, in paragraph 29, they say the plan was simple, convince current IAG employees to leave IAG and in breach of their non-compete and confidentiality obligations, go to work for the Koch defendants as part of a newly created entity known as Koch Project Solutions that would use IAG personnel and know-how to compete directly with IAG. These individuals...
But you said that's not going to be decided in the state court litigation.
That's correct, Your Honor, because the only remaining claim against Paul Switzer, and it's only against him in his individual capacity, is paragraph 84. And that's quite narrow. And paragraph 84, Your Honor, says as to Switzer that he tortiously interfered and that specifically by inducing the former Triton employees to solicit and accept business for KPS of a similar nature to that provided by Triton to Triton's customers. That has to do with the recruitment. And the key in all of this is that these individuals, they're also staffed on these projects. They actually manage and help build these projects. And by doing that, that is by definition competing with IAG and Triton. So the declaration we're seeking, Your Honor, has to do with these stray allegations against KPS in the state court proceeding that are ultimately not going to be tested through a cause of action, nor really can they, because they've elected to sue Paul Switzer individually, which gets us back to, you know, the issue of under Trejo one, which is factor one, which is, can all the issues be decided in the state court?
How long does the non-compete apply?
2 years.
So aren't we coming up on the end of that anyway?
We are, Your Honor. Absolutely.
I'm just having a hard time seeing what's really at issue here.
Right. Well, Your Honor, the issue is these allegations are still out there. The issues are these individuals, this is a new company that's trying to compete, and it needs to be able to actually have a declaration that says, no, it's permissible and this is lawful. IAG Triton, of course, there's nothing in the record because they've not done it. They've not pulled down these allegations. But Your Honor, I think you raise another question, which is, that's not necessarily even about the stay as much as it then becomes about us being able to show a case in controversy, which goes to another factor of the Declaratory Judgment Act, which is, you know, beyond, I think, the issue that's being sort of appealed here. The issue.
Yeah, I get that. But to follow up on what the chief judge just said, When does the 2 years on the non-compete agreements expire? Does it make sense to ask that?
They've expired.
They have?
They have, Your Honor.
So what would a declaratory judgment then accomplish for your clients?
Well, the declaratory judgment, Your Honor, it would accomplish, I think, a number of things. One, that the way that they staff these projects, the current projects to date, and the way that they want to go about, you know, potentially staffing these projects, it's not going to be tortiously interfering. And I understand your concern about, well, right, but these agreements have run, but they've not pulled down their allegations. And as long as those allegations are out there against KPS, that it is formed. And again, I don't know all their theories about how they may contend that these two-year period.
You're saying your clients are still under some kind of legal jeopardy because of the allegations. I mean, I guess would lead your client to believe you're going to get sued, even though the non-competes have run.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. And Your Honor,
are you seeking a money judgment or just declaratory relief?
Just declaratory relief, Your Honor. Yeah. Just declaratory relief. And also under factor one, again, we believe this court erred by treating Paul Switzer essentially as a proxy for KPS. There was no evidence submitted to that. Triton didn't advance that theory. Triton then did not put forward authority, including from this court, as to that issue, that the court could say, well, all of this can be tried through Switzer in his individual capacity. So therefore, factor one is satisfied. I see my time is about up. I'll save the remainder for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mr. Tisdall.
May it please the court. My name is Adam Tisdall. I represent appellees, Triton Corporation and IAG. At issue today is whether Judge Lake abused his discretion when he concluded in a thorough and reasoned opinion that under Brillhart, he should stay KPS's declaratory judgment action. He did not abuse his discretion because when a pending state case is as overwhelmingly similar as the declaratory judgment action is here, a district court should exercise its discretion and let the state court handle state law matters. And before I get into why those factors counsel in favor of stay, I'd like to address Judge Duncan's question about jurisdiction. And first, I don't think that this court has jurisdiction under the collateral order doctrine because the first factor of that, there is an indication that Judge Lake intends to revisit this. The parties have to submit status updates to the district court every 60 days. The district court's monitoring what's going on and is free to take any action. That's different than Granite State, where there was no indication that the court intended to revisit. I think this court does have jurisdiction because this is a final order under 1291. And it's a final order because it does effectively concede the resolution of these issues to the state court. And I think what I heard opposing counsel say that it concedes adjudication to the state court. And because it does that, that means that the issues in the state case are also present in the federal case. Otherwise, this couldn't be a final order. I think the pleadings are the easiest place to see this.
I have a question about that, because in the arbitration context, when a district court stays a case and allows arbitration to proceed, I'm pretty sure the case law says that's not a final judgment. Isn't that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, but I believe that there's separate case law that...
I hear you. It just seems odd to me that one line of cases says in the arbitration context and another line of cases says differently, apparently, in this context. Can you shed some light on that for us?
I mean, I think one consideration, Your Honor, sort of one of the broad considerations we're talking about here, which is federalism, and that because we have this dual setup, federal courts should defer to state courts when state courts are adjudicating state law issues. And that's what we have here, because Triton has alleged that Paul Switzer not just tortiously interfered, as opposing counsel said, but also that there's a conspiracy, that he conspired with other Koch entities and Mr. Dotson to interfere with the non-compete and the non-solicitation provisions. And in the federal case, KPS sought two declarations of non-interference with those exact same contracts. And if you look at the counts that they've actually pled, they might have titled it as relating to employment, but the actual counts themselves relate to the non-compete provision and the non-solicitation of former Triton employees provision. And those are the exact same two provisions that are at issue in the state case.
So, Mr. Tisdall, I thought counsel opposite, Mr. Thomas, said that the state case would not be res judicata as to the federal declaratory judgment action. I think he said that. If I'm getting that wrong, I apologize. What's your view on that issue? The state litigation that's ongoing, is that going to be res judicata as to all issues that are raised in the federal declaratory judgment action?
Well, Your Honor, I think that it could be, because it could be against Triton, for example, if it loses some of these claims. If, for example, the state court concludes that there was no breach. But really, the issue that we're supposed to be looking at here is whether all the matters in controversy may be litigated in the state case. So this isn't really an issue of race.
I just thought there were some parties in the state case that have been kicked out, been dismissed, lack of personal jurisdiction, I think it was, such that there's not an identity of parties between the state and federal litigation. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not, Your Honor, and I have a couple points on that. So first, that state appeal is set for oral argument 2 weeks after this one, actually. Yeah. And so regardless of what this court decides, the state court's going to pick up at almost the same time as this court issues its opinion. And so the issue then, excuse me.
So there's going to be an appeal in the state court as to what issue?
Yes, Your Honor. So the state court appeal concerns whether there's personal jurisdiction over the other two Koch entities and Mr. Dotson, the executive. And that issue is before the appellate court and is going to be argued here in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. As soon as that court issues its opinion, Mr. Switzer and Triton have agreed that they will resume their litigation. And so the state court litigation is going to proceed. And I would point out, it's going to proceed regardless of whether their jurisdiction is proper over those Koch entities or not. And so Mr. Switzer is still going to be in the state case, and he's still going to be litigating the same issues that are in controversy here, whether there was tortious interference, whether there was breach, and whether that was induced or not.
The state court appeal will determine whether there are additional parties in the state court litigation, the KPS entities. I'm probably getting that wrong, but just additional parties.
Correct, Your Honor. Not KPS, but other Koch entities.
Other Koch, yeah. Right.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why wasn't KPS added as a party to the state litigation?
Because, Your Honor, Triton chose to sue the people that it thought was primarily responsible for the wrongdoing. And so it focused on Mr. Switzer and the Koch executives that took this. But it doesn't matter that KPS was not a party to the state court. Because as this court is instructed in Sherwin-Williams, even if there is not exact identity between the parties, district courts are supposed to look at the similarity in determining whether it would be proper to have the state court resolve state issues. And so that's what we have here. Now, KPS seems to want a different standard to apply. It told the district court on page 164 of the record that in order for their abstention to lie, it needed to be precisely the same parties litigating precisely the same issues. And in its briefing, it says that the state court will not resolve the matters in controversy. And I think I heard opposing counsel say that nothing will be decided. But Trejo says may. And if KPS's standard were the standard, then effectively there wouldn't be any stays under Brillhart. Because all a lawyer would have to do, if there was a pending state case, would we find another individual or entity that wasn't in the state case and have them bring a declaratory judgment action? Because then there would be some issue that perhaps wouldn't be litigated in the state case. Now, because that's not the law, KPS makes three arguments that just this should not sway this court. Now, the first one we've talked about is that's not a party. And that can't be the law because Sherwin-Williams says, look to the similarity if the parties aren't identical. Next, KPS argues that its actions are somehow different than Mr. Switzer. But corporations act through individuals. As Triton noted to the district court, KPS's court.
I have a question.
Yes, sure.
What is Alliance? What are they actually doing with respect to these employees that are issued right now? Are they employed, gainful? What are they doing? Are they not functioning as they normally would for you, or what's happening?
Yes, Your Honor. So Mr. Switzer and the four other individuals all used to work for IAG. They had non-compete and non-solicitation agreements. They left and are now currently working for KPS. The five of them, in fact, as we told the district court, are the core team of KPS. led by Mr. Switzer as the president. So whatever actions KPS is taking, it's taking with the employees that are currently there now. In fact, KPS hasn't even suggested that the conduct at issue is related to any other employee. It's the same five employees and the same five agreements in both cases.
I got that backwards, I'm sorry. Okay.
And so whether the same conduct amounted to a tort is gonna be at issue in both cases. Now, third, KPS claims for the first time on appeal that it shouldn't have to litigate through the avatar of Mr. Switzer. But this brand new argument is waived and it's not relevant regardless. It waived this argument because KPS told the district court incorrectly that abstention required precisely the same parties, not that Mr. Switzer would not adequately represent it. And regardless, this issue is irrelevant because it's not a question of whether the resources each party has, whether the matters in controversy will be litigated. And the matters in controversy will be litigated, at least in part, because KPS and its president have the same interests and motivations. Triton told the district court in its opening motion and in its reply, it's pages 73 and 248 of the record, that Mr. Switzer, as president of KPS, would make the same arguments in state court to resolve the same issues, because both want a finding of no liability. And just to highlight the similarity between these two actions, I think there's three spots this court can look at that are most useful. And the first is KPS's complaint. And the first paragraph of KPS's complaint, excuse me, I'm getting the quote, starts, "This declaratory judgment action arises from defendants' public and erroneous allegations that KPS is unlawfully competing with defendants. These are the allegations that Triton made in state court, and Mr. Switzer denied those allegations. It necessarily then, these allegations, the same one KPS complains about, are going to be litigated." And the remainder of this paragraph goes on to note the same contractual provisions about the same five employees. In fact, KPS even attached four of the employment agreements to its complaint. Now, the second thing that I think this court can look to is what KPS told the district court in its Rule 26F submission. On page 342 of the record, KPS told Judge Lake that discovery is needed on plaintiff's declaratory judgment claims with respect to the lack of tortious interference by KPS, by Mr. Switzer, by Koch Engineered Solutions, by Koch Industries, by David Dotson. In other words, in the federal case, KPS told the district court that it was going to need discovery into the actions of all of these individuals, the same individuals that Triton has accused of wrongdoing. This shows the significant and overwhelming overlap between these two cases. Now, the third spot this court can look is KPS's own briefing to this court. On page 7 of its opening brief, KPS described the issues in this case as, quotes, the scope of the alleged non-compete obligations. And the scope of those non-compete obligations is central to Triton's action in the state court. Pages 102 and 103 of the record describe each of those non-competes in detail. And the scope of those obligations is something that's almost assuredly going to be litigated in the state court. And that's going to resolve what KPS itself has identified as the legal issues. So with regards to the first factor, the district court correctly concluded that all matters in controversy may be litigated in the state court, and that following principles of federalism, it should let the state court resolve those state law issues. But this isn't the only reason that the district court chose to stay. There's two other broad considerations that also factor into that analysis. And the next one's efficiency. And efficiency means avoiding duplicative or piecemeal litigation. And both of those concerns would be present if the federal court case proceeded alongside the state court case. State court's going to involve the same lawsuit, the same witnesses, the same documents, as KPS told the district court, the same discovery. And the state court may in fact resolve all those matters, which means that there's no need for the district court to involve itself in any of those issues. But if the federal action's not stayed, KPS has basically promised from the discovery it seeks that there'll be duplicative effort. And that's because, as we've talked about, this state court case is going to proceed regardless. If the appeal is going to be resolved, the state court's going to be is going to resume. Mr. Switzer and Triton are going to litigate these issues regardless of whether the other Koch entities and Mr. Dotson are part of the case. Having a federal court proceed in parallel guarantees substantial duplication, while staying the federal case permits a more efficient resolution, one court instead of two resolving these matters. And as well, the state court, as I think we've discussed, involves additional claims and parties that are not present in the federal court. Thus, proceeding with the federal case is going to lead to piecemeal litigation. And that's another thing that Sherwin-Williams warns about and when courts are considering whether efficiency favors abstention or not. And then the last broad consideration that the district court was addressed was fairness. And fairness also favors abstain. It looks to whether the plaintiffs using the declaratory judgment process to gain access to a federal forum on improper or unfair grounds. And the fundamental unfairness here is that KPS is using the federal lawsuit in an attempt to deprive Triton of its chosen forum to have these issues litigated. Now, KPS admits that it filed this federal suit in an attempt to gain precedence over the state court. It told this court on page 7 of its opening brief that it chose to file in federal court to, quote, more quickly resolve the legal issues. Wanting the federal court to adjudicate the same legal issues before the state court is an attempt to thwart Triton's choice of having these issues litigated in the state court. Now, this is separate and apart from federalism. It's also unfair. Now, even if this court concludes that there was no unfairness in KPS's filing of this declaratory judgment action, both federalism and efficiency still counsel in favor of abstention. If some considerations support abstention and some do not, this court has concluded that's not an abuse of discretion. That was this court's holding in American Employers versus Eagle. There, the district court had concluded that fairness and efficiency supported abstention. This court concluded that fairness did not support abstention, but nevertheless held that the district court did not abuse its discretion. In sum, none of KPS's complaints are actual errors by the district court. Instead, they merely question the district court's evaluation and balancing of factors. But the district court applied the correct legal framework, which KPS agrees with, considered all of the factors on the record, which KPS agrees with, and made a determination that federalism, efficiency, and fairness favored abstention. Judge Lake's decision was not an abuse of discretion, and so this court should affirm. Thank you.
Rebuttal, Your Honor. Your Honor, my opposing counsel, I mean, when asked why was KPS not sued, he said, well, we went after those who are primarily responsible. In other words, they have claims against KPS. They have in their briefing what they've described as potential claims against KPS. KPS is not Paul Switzer. Whatever theories they have against KPS are not the same as they are against Paul Switzer. And what Trejo Factor 1 requires the court to determine is whether or not all matters may be fully litigated in the state court case. And all we've heard and all the district court heard was essentially statements of counsel as to what Switzer will or will not argue. What I think has been missed in all of this is what was actually in the record, the evidence that was actually in front of the court, which is that Mr. Switzer says he didn't know about these non-compete agreements. He says that in his affirmative defenses. And so if Mr. Switzer wins and prevails on the issue of intent, as this is an intentional tort, and if he prevails and said, I had no knowledge, therefore I had no intent, none of the issues in which KPS raises that it seeks a declaratory judgment action on will be decided. And that is why Trejo Factor 1 fails. There was no evidence in the record for the judge's finding that all matters would be fully litigated in the federal court. And on this issue of waiver, that KPS somehow didn't, or that it somehow waived its argument about Switzer being an avatar, it was not in Triton's briefing. There was no evidence about it. It was something that the district court stated in its order. And the fact that the district court came up with a reason to stay this that was not presented to the district court counsels again in the fact that the court erred and abused its discretion in under Trejo factor one. And on the issue of like on abuse of discretion, although the judge addressed Trejo factors, he did not independently analyze them as it relates to the other factors. For example, on the basis of forum shopping, the district court concluded, well, it's the full matters in issue and it was filed in response. Therefore, there's forum shopping. That's not the standard for forum shopping. And Sherwin-Williams tells the court the issues that relate to forum shopping are things like changing the choice of law or depriving a state court litigant of their opportunity to file in state court. The correct standard was not applied. And more interestingly, as it relates to factor four, inequitably gaining precedence, this was a fact that Triton even conceded in its brief. And it said that there would be no inequities that come forward with KPS gaining precedence. That was in footnote five, page 75, footnote five of their brief, page 75 of the record. But the court found that this factor counseled in favor of abstention because KPS would gain precedence. But that's also not the standard. The standard is what inequities would rise. And on that, the district court did not apply the correct standard. And on this issue of efficiency, there cannot be efficiencies that's gained by having a forum in which KPS is not a part of and conducting discovery there and then transferring everything over to the federal court and then again conducting discovery. The efficiencies are gained by having a forum in which KPS has a seat at the table to be able to conduct discovery. Your Honor, IAG Triton, they cannot essentially block KPS's action, take a knee in the state court, run out the clock, and sideline KPS's claims. The court abuses discretion as there was no evidence to support the Trejo 1 and did not properly apply the standard of Trejo. Thank you.
Thank you. We have your arguments. This case is under submission.